ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Trap by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week I have Coach Greg and Megan. I have met Greg about a little bit more than a year, maybe a year and a half ago now. This interview was done late last year, so it tells you how far out I am with recordings when this was done. These two gave me a lot of information, their perspective on how they do things. I think as a parent, it gives you an inside look of how these skills coaches work and what they do and how they assess things. And I'm not going to say too much more. I'm going to let them explain it. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
My name is Greg McGaw. I am owner and head coach of PD1 Soccer Training. Started playing, obviously, just as everyone does as a kid. Got all the way through to playing probably academy sort of level, higher academy level at Glentoran FC back in Northern Ireland. Realized I'm probably not going to make it to the Premier League in pros. I really wanted to have a career in soccer. I was just obsessed by the game. I actually took up coaching really early. My school, PE department, would put us through our coaching licenses, so level one, level two, the sort of grassroots stuff quite early. At 16, I'd done that. I started coaching my first team at 18. Went to college in England at University of Central Lancashire and got involved in some coaching there. Actually, multi-sports over there. I would coach athletics and running and sprinting and stuff as well. And then came to, after graduated, actually, I seen a job advertisement, like a lot of people from the UK or Ireland do, but I seen an advertisement for a 9-month job opportunity in New York City coaching soccer, and I was like, I can do that for 9 months till I figure something out. Came over, absolutely loved this. It was back in 2015, and I coached within multiple grassroots clubs in New York, Westchester, and done lots of recreation programs, summer camps. I spent 3 months in Seattle in 2015 as well, coaching in summer camps over there. Loved it and decided to continue. That was the first of many sort of coaching jobs I've had. From there, moved to Texas in 2020. I've worked in one club and then decided to... I met my now business partner, Megan, and we've met with Cook. I coached their daughters, and we had ideas for creating a soccer club. My passion was always skills training. And when I first moved to Texas, that's what I actually originally wanted to do. Quite naively, actually, I was like, I'll get in there and I'll start coaching. But realized quite quickly, you really need to be embedded in a community before you can really get that thriving. So I would do one-to-one privates, group privates and stuff. I always had a passion for technical training. But more so, my brain's just wired for, the dissected, the technical game, rather than so much the technical elements. That's part of it. But so probably why I was always more interested in skills group training rather than being an ECNL coach or whatever. So that's where it's led me to right now, where I'm in our business right now. We completely changed it up from where we originally started. But we absolutely love what we're doing right now.
I don't even know where to start with that. Yeah. I am Megan Pruitt. I am co-owner of PD1 Soccer Training, and I do all of the operations, business development, app scheduling, social media, everything that's not on the field. My background is actually a little different. I have a degree in merchandising and marketing and business, and went on and actually taught seventh grade, ended up getting my teaching certificate, taught seventh grade English reading and writing for 4 years before I had kids. And then Greg and I met, as he said, through my daughters. We started the club. My role in that was really just to handle social media and a website and a couple of admin responsibilities, but it developed into much more as we started it. It was like finding fields. It was all sorts of extra things. And then in October of that year, Greg had come to me with the idea that he really was passionate about skills training, and he had this idea, this is how we could run it, and just said, do you think we could do this? Could we run the numbers? What is this going to look like? And we started the process on that, piloted the whole program the following January, and then it went from there. We just took off from that point. We realized that it was really successful. My role in that was really just facilitating. He had all of the ideas of what we could do. I don't have a background in soccer. I just have a background in business. And I guess one area that I can bring some stuff to the table is when I taught, I learned a lot about kids, the psychology of kids, what works well for kids. So seeing the way that he ran those sessions at first, I had no idea the first time we walked out to see what a skill session was going to look like. I had no idea what exactly was the difference between a skill session and how he ran his team training that I had seen over time. But one thing that I figured out through that very quickly was he was really good at something that I called when I taught was just time chunking, just taking the time and segmenting it, because children are really good when they are kept engaged, when there's structure and when there's consistency. So for me, even as a former educator and parent, I was able to see what he had on an organizational level, not just bringing the skills to the table, how that was going to be effective and attractive to both kids and parents. I don't know what that has to do with anything. I would cut half that out. I don't know where to go on my story on that.
No, that's helpful, because in every dynamic with a business, I mean, I'm going to use Soccer Innovation. I interviewed them. Jeremy talks about his history with his dad and really talked about who they are and the breakdown and how everything worked out. And I think you two coming together creates an environment where it is matching two people that have end goal with the same idea and running with it. And sometimes it takes more than one person. It's a business. Sometimes everyone doesn't have the same skill sets and same business sense. I'm more gullible, and my wife is the realist. And it's just how things work out. And that's what's great about businesses like this. It's that you guys complement each other in your strengths and weaknesses. And that's what business partners are.
Yes, absolutely. I compare it often when I talk to people, because a lot of times when I'm out there, I'm on the field about 80% of the time. And it's very confusing. A lot of clients are like, what is this person doing out here? Because I'm anywhere from picking up cones and equipment, moving, kicking balls back to where they belong, to talking to clients, to selling them shirts, to talking about memberships. And then if there's nothing going on, I'm sitting in our work van that we call the office, and I'm creating content to put back on. And so I'm like doing all these different things. And so a lot of times new clients come out and they're like, okay, what are you? And a lot of times it's just like the assistant at first. And I would be like, look at Greg, I'd be like, I am not the assistant. That is, I have so much more than that.
I have to say that that's one thing with Megan. She works just as or more hard off the field and doing all those sort of tasks like a true entrepreneur than as I do on the field. I might be on the field doing sometimes if it's all day, especially in the summers if I'm doing doubles, if we do 9 to 12 and then we come back and we do our 5 till 9 programs. But the whole time Megan's either running her numbers, working on getting t-shirts, orders, everything. Her job's never done, and I like to think I help out with a lot of the back end stuff too. She really, but what we say is, it's kind of a joke, but not really. And for me, I'm the idea machine, and she makes it happen, is what we say. Because I'll come up with an idea, I'll say I want my programs run this way, I want the people to do it. How can we facilitate that? And she'll figure out a way where we can keep the lights on for one, and also it's genuinely a good product. I feel that's basically how it runs, and yeah, our her, not just in terms of business, our talents merging with that. I think our personalities level each other out in a way where maybe someone will say, I didn't like that at all. Or why can he not join that session? He's good enough to join that session. And I'm going, he's just good. And she'll go, no, Greg, come on. You've got to recognize that they're just passionate about their kids' sports. So we definitely have a lot of personality traits that help each other out too. And in the same regard, I feel like I can do that with her, with the soccer elements, where maybe she'll say, here, we've got a group that wants to come in, and I'll say, it's not going to work. Just the talent level, they've only been playing a couple of months at club. This is not going to be a good fit for them going into a session with some pre-ECNL players. Having that sort of two talents and two personalities, I feel like works pretty well for us.
So I always say that when you go into this is the way I equate the way Greg and I's business relationship works, is when you go into your dentist or your doctor or anything like that, there's always an office manager. At any good private practice, you're going to find an office manager and you're going to find your specialist of what they do. I don't particularly want my doctor or my dentist also over there going home at night and running the accounting, running the scheduling, running all these things. They need to be focusing on what their craft and what their skill is. And so when it comes to the working relationship between Greg and I, that's exactly what we have. It is hard because since we're out on a field, it looks like this person wandering around. If we were inside a building, I would be at a front desk. Like, you don't take your daughter to gymnastics and have an empty front desk when you walk in. Somebody's usually manning that. I'm the person that's manning it just on a wide open field. In that case, like, that's the way we operate. Greg is strictly the brains of how the soccer is going to work, what the actual program is for the client, for the players. I am strictly managing all of that. How do we make that happen? And exactly like he said, how do we keep the lights on? Because there's a lot of times too, he's exactly right. When we first started about 18 months ago, we went all in on a risk. We had a ton of opposition. We announced to the teams that we had that we weren't going to go forward anymore. And it came with a tremendous amount of backlash that I still don't quite understand. But in the end, like where we are 18 months later, it should be resoundingly clear that we had an idea and we worked really hard toward that idea. But making that leap between, okay, we're going to have these club teams or we're going to go to skills, Greg and I took a hit. Our investment was our time. We threw ourselves into this just in all ways. He didn't always quite understand the business side as far as when things would happen where I'd be looking at our numbers and he'd be like, we can't have these players in the same one because their skill level. And I'd be looking at it going, totally understand that, but we can't keep our lights on if we don't somehow facilitate. This is going back to the beginning. So Greg and I had to learn really hard to work together on explaining his why and my why when we look at things. And even now when it comes down to, we're looking at camps going forward. What are camps looking like in 2025? I understand where he's coming from on some certain fields. He understands where I'm coming from. My job is to look at our revenue. Our job is to look at how much can we pay our coaches, because that's very important. The number one thing for our clients is the quality of the coach, right? You're not going to get good quality coaches if you can't pay them what they deserve also. So I'm sitting there looking at the numbers. If we want these coaches, we need to pay them this much. Where are we coming together when it comes down to fields?
From on that point as well, Megan, like I feel like one of the things that we really, I try and pride myself on with our program in comparison to any other organization, I don't know, but we don't typically bring in like a one-off college coach for a run a couple of sessions or whatever. I want all my coaches, and it's very hard to come by, and it's probably why I've done on my own for so long, is just be US qualified up to maybe a C or a B or higher, or UEFA. So I have those qualifications, and I wanted to ensure that our product, even though it's sometimes, you know, you're maybe not working on some of the tactical elements, I feel like that's probably the coach's job, the team coach's job, to go into those elements. I worked in a company in New York called NCE, which really inspired me to start PD1. National Center of Excellence is his full name, run by John Curtis, who was ex-Manchester United player and had a career in soccer. And honestly, when you walked in there, it was a center of excellence is the word that I would say. And everyone there was like, had a, you know, high level of qualifications, and the environment was great. And that's really what we're trying to, I really want to try and not, you know, replicate in my own sort of way. I want to put my own spin on those sorts of things. But I really felt like there was an excellence environment. We try and make sure that our staff are that way too. And honestly, sometimes it doesn't work out even with some of the coaches that we've had that come in, just personality clashes or differences, or even differences in just standards in terms of lateness or whatever like that there. We really, the guy we have in now as well with us is Coach Mo, who's worked at Aston Villa. He's had a career coaching in England. He's just recently moved over here about a year and a half ago. I would say the same. He's got very high energy, similar sort of to myself in that way, where it's really nice when you are the head coach, and I'm getting ideas from him. I'm going, I really like that what he's doing there. I really like those coaching points. So I feel like we've got a good mutual understanding with me and Megan as well, where we want to make sure that the staff is, you know, that they are high quality, and we want to be able to compensate everyone as they should be.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you have to come together in the business sense and really begin to understand. Like Greg and I have a really good understanding of what we each want to see within our own organization. When we started it, so let's rewind back to that, like you jump all in moment and you go, okay, we're going to do this. The both of us definitely had, it was an ill reception on a lot of ways, or maybe, and then some people were just neutral about it. We did definitely get that this isn't going to become anything. So we had our moments where we were like, all right, we're going to try it. We're going to do it. And we piloted the program for two different 9-week periods. We still had the club running, and we were like, let's just see what this does. That first 9 weeks showed me that it had potential. The second 9 weeks was, okay, if we stop, this might not be, like, we need to, like, this has potential. But even in this process, we were very mutually understanding that we're not just going to be a skills-based training company where you come, as I said earlier, Venmo us. If we do this and we go all in, we're creating a brand, and creating the brand became very important to us from the get-go. And as he said, with NCE and the standards he had learned there and he wanted to implement, he would come to me and say, this is my expectation. This is what I want to do. And when you are already trying to just get kids in the door, for me, it was a small challenge, but I was like, okay, I'm asking these families to pay this much money, and now I'm going to ask them to buy a jersey. And for a while, it made me just a little uncomfortable because I just wanted the kids in the door and the program to grow. But Greg was like, let's stick with it and really make it like a mandatory thing, because this is a bigger vision than just having these kids come out. We want to create a reputable brand that is seen by the community, seen elsewhere. And it was a really effective tactic that I'm very happy that we began at the beginning to set that standard. So slowly, as the program grew, the brand started to grow, brand awareness became important. And I feel like we were really able to grow on both of those levels, both on what the business is, but that there is a brand attached, and people began to know what the brand was and what it meant. And so we decided early on, I think one of our funniest things was, because you really got to work with your partner here. You got to have your this and that. And I realized from an administrative point, the Acuity was the scheduling through our Squarespace app, that our website that we have. It wouldn't let me do a lot of capabilities. We had to really develop a program that was going to be, I think this is where my parenting came in as helpful. As you said, you've got your son training 10 hours a week and you've got your daughter doing gymnastics 3 hours a week, trains in soccer 2 hours a week. When you're growing a business, you're not just looking at, of course, he's looking at the skill, the passion, the talent. I'm looking at, wait, we're competing. Our competition isn't another skills trainer. Our competition is time. Our competition is the schedule of these kids. Our competition is how many kids do you have? You have a really talented player, but you have four kids. How are you going to get them to us? What are we going to do to draw you to make you say, okay, I've only got 1 hour extra a week that this talented player can train. How are you going to come to me versus someone else? So we quickly realized we need to offer this to be successful. This needs to be a 5-night-a-week program. We also need to have a system set up that is easy for parents. Because at first we did a 9-week, you buy the 9 weeks up front, and this is what it is. You hit all these problems with that. You have rainouts, okay? It rains 3 of those weeks. How in the world do you make that up? So now you're issuing refunds, and now you're going negative. Now you bought it in March, you're issuing refunds in May. For me, administratively, nightmare. Like, not gonna work. So we began to really go through this whole process of what works best for our clients. Not what works best for us. How do we get them in here and really cater to them so that they can get in the door? We were confident once they got in the door with Greg's skill and his unique way of coaching that they were going to stay. But it was, how do you get them there? So we decided to get an app. It came with a lot of resistance on Greg's side at first because he was like, I don't understand. Why do we need an app? And I'm like, as a parent, quick. It's really quick. It's really easy. And it's extremely structured for them. Once they download it, get in the system, you just pick the class you want to go to, your card stays on file, you purchase it, and what it does for us on the back end is it's got the CRM, complete sales, everything is listed there for me. I've got my liability waivers all in one spot. Because there are so many trainers around us that are just one-offs that do this on their own, they don't have those waivers. I don't even know what kind of liability insurance they have on them. So for us, it keeps my social media, which is a huge part of PD1. It is a huge part. And we have actually turned away clients before that said, I'm not signing the social media waiver. And Greg and I have said, if you're not going to sign it, you're not going to be a part of, you can't be a part of our program. It's a very big.
We need to be on social media too. Like in the day of, we've actually, a couple of our clients are actually, or sorry, one in particular is a head lecturer at TCU for the NIL program. For us too, we're capturing some moments of these kids training, which they'll then look to collaborate and put on their own personal pages, which maybe they'll get them some more exposure. Maybe down the line, maybe they get a couple of free sessions from somewhere else, or they get some free cleats or free shin guards or whatever. So we like the people to highlight our players, which I think they love as well. Probably why a lot of them, some players have already came to one session. As soon as they get there, they're like, how are you? Before they even say, who's Greg? They're asking, can I get the t-shirt? Which for me says that the social media is working with the brand awareness and people just want to be part of it. For me, in terms of what you were saying before, Megan, about the t-shirt, for me, it's just something so simple. But one of the best compliments I think regarding this that we had was someone wrote on one of our reviews that, you know, everyone out there has their shirt on. They leave their club at the door and they come in and they're there to work. And for me, we're obviously supplemental skills. We're club neutral. It doesn't matter who you play for. You can be playing at an ECNL level. You maybe be playing against someone that's playing ECNRL North Texas. But in that session, you might be going 1v1 and everyone's there to compete. Everyone's there to create an environment of excellence. And I think it really helps the product as well. Just everyone's there. We're there to work together. Everyone's there to improve. There's no egos there. Everyone's there. It doesn't matter who you play for, who your coach is. If you're on the B team, we're all there to improve you as a player. So I that was just one thing I think I've really enjoyed about even aesthetically when I look out there and I see all the shirts. I feel like it feels like a professional environment. So hopefully that continues and you know, we've actually got new shirts coming and stuff as well, which we're excited about. So it's the brand, it's something that I'm really not familiar with, and what Megan really has really done well with the marketing side of things is just being able to aesthetically build a brand and build how it looks. I feel like our little logo, it's so simple, but I think it's quite recognizable now for some people from what I've heard. I don't even know what I'm going with that anymore, Megan, but you can take over.
Well, I think that the point is we established early in our journey that the brand We wanted to, we weren't just creating the skills training company. Now for Greg, of course, but for me, it was also with my background and not knowing very much about soccer at the time. For me, it was more about let's create a really powerful brand alongside what we're doing. We want to be recognizable. That's how we'll grow. I do want to touch on what Greg's saying on the leveling of skills for our players. Greg and I put a lot of time every single day into making sure our sessions are as leveled as they can possibly be. It is a science. It's not going to be perfected. If your kid's going to a training academy that is promoting anything different, A, I would love to know their secrets. B, I wouldn't fully trust that because it's so hard to level that perfectly. You want to get your kids you want to get your players the best they can. But something I pride Greg and I on is each morning we wake up, we look at the app and it's like, okay, who needs to move sessions? As a parent and a business owner, lack of consistency is my absolute nemesis. I like consistency there. And I want our families and players to have structure in line to be like, okay, practice was canceled. PD1 always has a 5 o'clock 2015, 2016 session. But on the opposite side of that, I have to recognize that sometimes we're going to have to text a parent and say, we see so-and-so signed up in this session. We don't think that's going to be the best fit for them, whether it's confidence. And there are some players in that session that are going to be a little higher level, and they're not going to come out of here with the best confidence after that. Or it's the reverse. There might be four or five players in this, and then there's like a total standout. We don't want anybody in that position. We would rather have you correctly leveled. Take the money out of it. I don't want your money for that. What I want is every player that comes out to our session to have a good experience. And I think parents might not realize how hard it is to actually achieve that each day.
You have done that too, Megan, in terms of a lot of the things that we've done from a soccer perspective. We actually, I feel like you do a good job where I've communicated to you, there's a certain group of players that we have, which for me, I mean, I know maybe other academies and I know other ones around the country, which I've looked into this quite extensively and about giving them, do we give them like a number of or where they are? And I guess we used to do that where we would give them like a number, you're going to be a level 5 or you're a level 4, and that goes for every age group. So it could be like 2013s, if they're a level 5, they're probably able to play with 12s, right? Or if they're we used to do that, but now we just group everybody where me and Megan communicate and we basically make a list. And what we do with that list is we'll say there's certain sessions Friday, all invite only to my sessions. And then our other trainer or other trainers, anyone is able to sign up for their sessions. But for my sessions, I keep it where it's, for instance, the level 5s. So certain players that are the highest sort of level at their age group, they would be coming into my session. So we just create like basically a really high level environment. It's really our Friday sessions. Honestly, I would do it for free if I could.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, that's where I come in.
I'm
just the element out there. I'm just like, the standard is great. Everyone's so receptive and it's competitive. Kids are getting beat out in a 1v1 environment. And next time I can see there's a bit of fire in their belly to try and get someone back. So it creates a really fun and I told you before, that environment of excellence that I experienced before, I want to recreate that. And what's nice about it, it used to always just be Fridays and the rest of the week. But now, even like last night, for instance, we're getting to the level now where we've got that many clients out where the Tuesday night last session last night was unbelievable. All the standard of the players, everyone was there to work. We had a really great goalkeeper. For me, it was an environment where people are going to come away from this and I feel like it's going to help them. And that's basically my passion. For me, it's, I have a passion for helping players. I like to think that even when people come into our program, well, I think, I'm sure other companies do this too. Like, but when you come into PD1, or you train at PD1, it's a community. Like, I'm going to, if I can help you out in any other way, if I can put you in touch with another coach for guest playing opportunities, or for if I see that there's numbers are lighting somewhere and I want to say to you, hey, you've been out like 3 times in the last, would you come in? I think this is going to be a good session for you, and put them in complimentary. I love to do that. Now and again, Megan shouts at me, but I like to just want to get players in and reward them for their hard work and really see them grow in that way for their commitment to me as a trainer as well. More so than that, I just, for me, one thing with PD1 is, and I see it even with my other trainer, Mo, as well, I love that he does it, is that we don't just want to be a training service where people come in and then they go home and that's it. I like to be a mentor for these kids and give them my experiences within the game that I can help them with, whether it's, maybe it might not be on the field, maybe just be like, here, like sometimes it's, you don't get your way, or some coaches or some people aren't going to value your play right now. You might be on it. You might be substitute right now. You might be getting limited game time. How can we help you with that? And can you stay focused when you get your opportunities? And can you keep your confidence high so that you're not gonna let that one individual's view, you know, impact your soccer career or such. So yeah,
I would also say it's an extremely positive environment. We keep it positive there, and some parents don't want this. They want a much more strict. But Greg, and I've seen Mo, and especially the one who's out there filming so much of this all the time, I have a first eye view at they're the way that both of them are able to tell the player what they might need to correct and be hard on them. Hey, you did not do this right the second time. Stop. And they will pull the player out, help them get the skill or whatever it is. And then the way that they are able to find something to encourage them about following that. Both of the trainers, Greg and Mo, are very good at this. And I feel like it creates an environment for that player to make mistakes, because that's why they're there. And I hear both trainers say constantly, this is why we're here. Make the mistake. Now we're going to work through it. Or now we're going to put this in a 1v1. If you lose the ball, and this is where to lose the ball. That's why we're here. And I find that, I guess that's where my kind of parenting past educator side does also come in. And I see and I appreciate that out of them, because they need to be corrected. They can't just get away with it and have this easy session. That's not what it's about. But it's also about a place to gain confidence, because so many coaches out there on their team coaching, it's like yelling at them, or they're expecting them to be equal to some of these other players, or this player's a standout. They're not making any mistakes. Why are you? Or you get pulled from the bench because you're pulled from the game because your mistakes. And these guys are really good at helping them through their challenges while also praising their positives. And I do think that's a very important attribute for supplemental training.
Another thing on that, Megan, although we've mentioned before that I feel like the way we run a session or where we program, the way typically my session design as such, we do a lot of sort of station environments where we'll be the same topic, but we'll do, for instance, if it was a 1v1 session, we're going to work on 1v1s, playing with pressure in front, pressure from behind, pressure from sides, 2v1s. But when they're in that environment, it's really unstructured in terms of they have full creativity in what they're going to do, and I encourage that creativity to come out. So if you've got a certain 1v1 move you want to do or whatever it is, let's perfect that and let's do that in that environment. But they've got full creativity. So although some of the, you know, the sessions are structured, I like to be able to really encourage a lot of creativity, and hopefully that will then transfer into their gameplay. Because again, that's a big thing for me too. I see some sessions on, everyone does on Instagram and all, and I'm like, I don't know how that really is going to transfer into their game. I really think to myself, every time I have a coffee in the morning and I'm planning a session for the afternoon, how does this transfer into your game? For instance, it's funny, I'm talking to you, Ian, but me and Megan really talk about my process of even like doing a session, but sometimes I'll literally watch a game on, I know are you a Liverpool fan?
Me? I'm a Tottenham Spurs.
Tottenham, okay. For instance, the other day I watched like a Liverpool game, and I was like watching, and I was going, okay, how can I, he'd done a couple of moves up and down the left midfield, and I was like, how can I transfer that into a session? So I'll create like some sort of ideas, or maybe I'll give them some like unopposed activities to do to then encourage that within a 1v1 environment. My session design is unique for me. I like to just try and take little segments out of the game and make a game realistic. And that sometimes that's not, doesn't maybe transfer totally into like a session in terms of like, how is it structured, where maybe there is a few cones out, but if for the most part, there is that a 1v1 at the end of that. So anyway, session design is a big thing for me, where I really try and be creative with it. And I don't like to keep it the same. I like to try and mix it up, where it might be just a few different activities for us as a product. I think it helps, because people come, they're not going to get the same session. And even if it's the same drill, they're probably going to get it coached a little bit differently, or there's a different influence with it. So
I would say, to add to that about the game realistic component, one of the best things that has come from this to me, something that is so motivating every weekend, is we're starting to get on Saturdays and Sundays and Mondays so much footage from games of parents, and they will say, look at what my child did, came straight out of that session. And there's really, as a business owner, I'm not even the one doing the training out there, but I have so much happiness and joy from getting these and seeing, like, we've had some just amazing moves where the parents, either the trace will circle them on there or something, and we can see this move, and we're like, we know we worked on that last week. We've got the kid doing this in the session, and the parents just like, we see it. A lot of it comes from shooting and finishing.
100%. But not to discredit the coaches too, because I know like a lot of my sessions are maybe they implement it, but definitely like the coaches have got to give them the creativity to be able to do that. And so definitely wouldn't take away credit from them either. Like, it's really nice being part of a something that we maybe worked on, and them being able to transfer it into their game for their clubs. So that's really nice.
And for us, it keeps us on target with how it goes, because when we're getting things like that, when we're hearing that, we know what we're doing is really effective. And anytime we sense anything that's going on in our business that's not effective, we're going to work to change it for the better of our client. On me, on a business side, not on a soccer side, that would be scheduling, which, again, I said, consistency is key. And I believe that with players, I believe that with everything. But in our industry, where we're at, keeping the same session, sometimes I may advertise this is what we're going to do this month, but if we're not getting anybody to fill a certain session for whatever reason, you realize, okay, all my 2013-14s right now, they must all be at training, because they will come in droves and waitlist another time. So you always have to adapt and pivot to what works. We want to do the same in every way so that our clients get the maximum that they can possibly get within our sessions, and also customer service and client. We want them to feel seen all the time.
That's key. I think you guys have touched on so many different areas, and I've been jotting my notes down throughout this process. And what you have is a unique setting. It's the business side and the coaching side actually meshing and actually being, what's the word I'm looking for? A positive experience versus a frustrating experience as a parent. You guys have talked about so many different things here and so many different levels to go through. I'm going to take it back a little bit.
Sorry.
No, it's great.
We're a bit passionate.
And that's a great thing. I view this as multiple levels, because I do have a son that has worked with you guys in the past. Greg has been very kind to Landon over the last year since we've met. And it's just finding time for stuff. That's been our issue. It's not so much of, there's only so many hours in a week, and there's only so many different places we can drive at the same time. Yeah. And it is hard as a parent, and having the app to what you guys have available. I'll be honest, I've played with it. I've looked at it. It's very easy to use. It's very easy experience to go through for parents that are looking into it. But I'm not going back to your coaching. You touched on it, and you did not go on it too much. And as a parent, coaching is the most important thing to me. It is how the player connects to that individual, because if they can't connect, it's pointless. But let's go back to the education side for the coach. Mm-hmm. You said you want your coaches to have their badges or licenses, depending on where you're coming from. If you're coming from outside the United States, it's badges. And if you're coming in from the United States, it's a license. And I find it fascinating, because what you get taught in the United States when you get your licensing versus the badges you get over, let's say, in Europe. I've talked to so many coaches now. The programs are completely different. And I know that they both have their pros and cons to each one. But as a person running a business here in the United States, do you preference one or the other, or you just want them to have a certain level of
education? That's so funny, because a lot of the trainers I have at a Pretty One, they're all British or Irish, or have come through Britain or Ireland. For instance, our coach Mo, he was from the Middle East, spent 10 or 13 years in England, I think it was. He was in England, so he'd done his UEFA B through, I think it was the Welsh FA. Same as me, I'd done my UEFA B through the Welsh FA. And honestly, it was an amazing experience, but very different from I've also done my US licenses up until the C level, and I probably won't go any further. If I'm going to do anything, I'm going to go just because, but also at that level as well, I'm also a skills trainer now. So not to say that I'm not going to do those anymore, but I also would. Other things interest me in that regard, things like TOVO's programs and COVA programs. I would like to do that. But for me, I love seeing just a coach that's went through that. If you've went through those sort of processes, you like the UEFA B and stuff, you've been probably coaching a team that has some higher level players just to get onto the course. And for me, that comes with a standard of professionalism and structure of session that then for me, it's like, okay, I will now trust that player trust that coach to run developmental session for a ECNL level player or a player that's in a higher level environment. But in that regard too, what I honestly think is more important now, which now that being a business owner, what I've learned rather than just having an education, being UEFA or US qualified, is having the right personality. Because for a skill session is high energy for me. I want to push everyone there. And if you're going to, you can come in laissez-faire approach and this, and that might work for certain personalities. For me, PD1, I want people to come in and be like, that was an energetic session. That was like, that's the feel of the sessions that I want to give and the product that I want to give. So for me, it's like, you can be as quality, you can have your pro license for me, but if you don't have a personality that's going to transfer and have a kid that's in a session that's going to really enjoy that session and get something out of it, for me, it's really irrelevant. And so for me, even doing the last cut sort of licenses with the US soccer, some of them were probably pointless. For me, what I got out of doing those was the contacts you meet on them. So like for me, if I was going to encourage anyone to go and do get qualified and stuff, really just enjoy the experience, go and talk to other coaches, because you never know who you're going to meet or who you're going to, what contacts you can build from that, or a network and opportunities on them. And the same with the tutors and instructors. I was very lucky whenever I'd done my original US soccer licenses, as you say, to meet some great coaches that were down the line have helped me out in other ways. I actually, whenever I got one of my first coaching opportunities in Texas, it was through another coach that I was on a course with up in New York. He just said, hey, I know these guys operate down there, you should check them out. And I think the networking opportunities on those, kind of probably like a convention, is very worthwhile doing. But that's not to say that for me, definitely, it always helps out with just structuring, I would say, is most important with that. But, and I do like the play, practice, play environment with, like, for grassroots sort of players. And whenever we run our camps, which I'm really passionate about our camps programs at the minute, we've run a successful camp, so over up to, you know, 60, 70 players this year. And hopefully it'll continue in the next year too. But we always do play, practice, play approach when we get there. And we try and we structure it a certain, quite a creative way, I feel like, our camps. And hopefully that will be something that we want to expand across the DFW area in the next year.
So as you guys are picking your coaches and you have your coaches, how do you model your programs and what programs do you offer? Let's start there. What programs do you offer? And we can talk about the actual modeling of
them. Yeah. So from a group training perspective, we have, I guess right now we have three different types of classes. We have had others in the past too, but right now we have like three, and the three are, we have a hybrid of where we do a little bit of speed, agility, ball mastery, 1v1. But we then have a 1v1 specific class, and we have a ball mastery class. And actually, I think right now, Megan, we got ball mastery and 1v1 in the same class as well. We've been working that. And then the other one is shooting and finishing. So that's the three groups that we are working on now. I'll be honest, see you even in a shooting and finishing class, I try and make it as game realistic as possible, but a warm-up will probably include some sort of a ball mastery activity.
One thing to add on programming, again, from the business perspective, we offered, as Greg said, we would offer non-dominant foot sessions. You can offer a variety of sessions, but what we really learned on the back end was simplifying what we offered to the clients was actually more effective than offering a larger variety of types of sessions. It almost complicated it more. Yeah. And streamlining it to the three major areas and then changing those up within, on a programming perspective, actually met more clients' needs than, say, if we just did, we're asked a lot, can you just do a defending course or can you just do this? It takes a long time to build a session like that from the business perspective. And you might get three kids that come out for that defending class, but that's it.
In that as well, Megan, sorry, just to put into what you're saying. We've done the defend sessions before, but all my 1v1 sessions, I'll include a defensive element to it. So I'm just trying to, like, whenever we don't, or aren't able to, another one, sorry, was like left foot sessions, or sorry, non-dominant foot sessions. I'll just do a round of whatever we're doing. You've got to do it on that's all effort, whatever you do, or all non-dominant food. So we try and within those sessions, we do try and facilitate a lot of those other needs that people want. But you're like streamlining, like you said. Go ahead, Megan. Do you want to?
Yeah, it's just like I said, on the business side, you learn what is effective and what isn't, and then we blend it. So we know the needs, or especially if a parent says to us, hey, I really want my kid just to focus on non-dominant foot. We can say to that kid, you're focusing on your non-dominant foot. You come to us twice a week. This session, you're doing non-dominant only. And the other one, you're not. Kids do not like it because they are losing the ball left and right if they're not using their dominant foot. Or if a parent mentions defending, we do within those groups, we'll specify some different areas. But we have found programming-wise, simplicity is key. We've also programming-wise realized having a shooting and finishing option on Fridays is also very popular.
Yeah, a big one for us as well. We still do run hybrid sessions on Friday evenings. I try and get the most out of a player as I can in a session. Sometimes if you've got a game at 8 a.m. on a Saturday or a Saturday morning and you're coming to my session at 7 p.m. on a Friday night, might be we don't want to overexert that player before they've got they're stepping into a competitive game. So maybe our shooting and finishing sessions is much more like less physical load as such and more technique-based. On that, there's ways that we also, so like I said, if I do a hybrid session, we have Coach Mo doing a shooting and finishing session on a Friday so that we can marry those two together.
I wanted to add something when it comes to leveling and different things. Leveling is definitely a challenge, and it's one that is always going to be a challenge because it's pretty subjective. You can be an excellent player on a 1v1 moment, but your skills, your technical training or your ball mastery at the beginning is just rough, or it can be vice versa. So it's very hard to level a player. But I will say one thing that I think is really something that we started doing the invite only Fridays over the summer and have carried it through the fall. It is becoming very motivating for those kids who are on the bubble because they want to attend those sessions. They want to attend those invite only Greg sessions. Same with his private training. Coach Greg does not get just anybody who wants private training. You've got to be a client of ours, unless you're at your older ages, 15, 16, 17, we don't offer group sessions for those. And those players also they're playing at a much higher level. They've got different goals and motives. But for the most part, Greg's not going to take just anyone for privates. These kids are learning if you want.
More so than just like being like picky. I really love to work with I want to have an influence on you. I don't want you just to come and me take your money, whatever. And I see a lot of that. I'm not interested. I really want to help that player. And I feel like whenever I get a player in that is motivated like that, I want to go watch their games. I want to watch their videos back. I want to be involved. I want to get immersed in that player. And how can I help those players? So like, it's a personality thing too. Families, obviously, people ask for it, but I like to have I want to really help that individual. So like for me, it's a personality thing. If you're going to come to me and you enjoy there and you want to be there and you want to work hard, and I'm going to push you too. I'll spend an hour planning the session and take you for an hour. So it's
there's two things here. That is a motivator. That's the next step for a player when they come out. What are you working for? What are you working to achieve? I want to make sure that I'm in Greg's Friday only invite only class. Like, I want to be with that group because a lot of times we're running courses at the same time. And these players can see the difference between the session they're in and that session. So I do think that's been a really good thing for us to have kids want that next step, want to get into that, work hard to get into that. And then, now I forgot the other thing I was going to say about that, though, what you were just talking about.
I don't want to bounce around too much there. I wanted to touch on that we're going to go to the convention and we want it as well. Yeah. Because we're going to, for us as well, like we're talking about education there, you know. I want to do, when we do get coaches in, like we have Coach Mo right now, and he also does a little bit of work with Dallas Surf also, but we want to, I really want to like help in any sort of educational way for these coaches as well. And for myself, like every year I make sure like I do at least a coaching license or a coaching sort of course. Last year, I done my level one, level two futsal. This year, I'm going to do a Tovo possession course. I want to just switch it up too. Sometimes when you are a business owner and a sole trainer, you kind of feel like you're on an island. So it's nice being around other coaches where you see other sessions. And I always want to keep myself fresh and make sure that I'm keeping myself, and any other career in the world, you've got to keep yourself, your standards up, more licensing or recertifying yourself. For me, I like to do that as well. So We're actually going to go to the National Soccer Coaches Convention here in January, probably for a networking opportunity. But for me, I'm sure Megan will probably do a lot of the networking as such with other, maybe other industry professionals. But I want to go to all the and view sessions, and we would love to do that for our coaches as well someday, to be able to bring people out and show them different types of session. Ourselves, if we grew to be a big enough team, maybe do some professional development ourselves within a enclosed environment where we're able to, you know, show each other different drills, talk about drills, collaborate on curriculum ideas. That's one of my goals, is what I would love to do. And maybe as our, I guess I see, I'm only 32 right now. It's maybe in 10 years time, it would get to a level where we'll be able to do some staff training, where I would maybe, where I would love to be able to show people how we've got this off the ground and effective tactics to run a session like this. So maybe I would do that with other trainers around the area, or maybe it's other states at that point when we've got big dreams, but that's what I would love to do.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Education, you talked, once again, there's a few things that stuck out in that to me. You talked about leveling, and this is a big thing. Landon will go have a session with the club, with a group, and I won't say what group organization it is, but we've gone to an organization, he's been with them, and he's been put in the wrong level. Landon has played up for over 3 years. He's now playing with 2012s at times and training with 2012s on top of his age group. And it's, I find it interesting watching where they put Landon, because at the end of the day, I'm biased. I'm his dad, but I also know where he stands. Like I am biased, but I also have a firm understanding what level or concerns a coach might have by having him play up. Yes, he's a foot smaller than sometimes of a player, or, but you're talking about a kid that's almost 5 foot tall, that's 90 pounds. He has some leverage there. He's not going to just be pushed around. But as you have parents that have players that do play up, or have players that do play at a higher level, they might play up or they might be playing in a higher league in the area. How do you distinguish them as where the level they're in, or what type of training session they should have? Because I'll be honest, a group session doesn't always do well for someone at a higher level. They might need a small two or three person group or a solo session. How do you guys distinguish or give recommendations then for a family, using mine as an example?
Sometimes it is come out and evaluate when they're there. But for me with that as well, I, as a coach, we've been doing this for 18 months now. I will ask, everyone has to be a club player that comes to us. And the reason why is I ask what team they're on, and I can figure out by either me asking a few others or me looking on like soccer rankings, what sort of team is that within. Now that I know that sort of individuals can be better than the team that they're on in that, but it gives me a good idea of, all right, for the first session, are they going to be, where do they fall in this first session as such? And from there, I can usually tell what's going to be a good environment for them. For instance, we have some 2013s that could play alongside 2011s, no problem, that are very high level and are strong players. And but normally that player, there's a lot of components. There's some athleticism components where some players are just, you know, naturally more athletic, and they're at that stage in their development. So it's like they're playing alongside, even if it's players that are much more technical than them, but in a session, sometimes they're better off playing at a higher age because they're so much more physically developed at that moment. Same goes with our 2016s and 2015s. Age groups is probably our biggest groups of two age groups as such. But a lot of the players that come into those, I'll know if you're playing what whenever the team, they tell me what team that they're on, I'll say, okay, is this going to be a session for that? And that's one age group that we have done intermediate in the past and advanced, because we have so many players within that age group that I'm able to, after seeing them in a session or seeing their what level of team that they're on, what's going to be the best fit for them. There's also the girls element as well that I'm not transferred to all age groups or all sessions, but typically sometimes I'll distinguish that from that as well. Maybe some of the higher level 15s might be better off playing with boys at 16s and so forth, or sometimes to challenge those players, and maybe I will put them into that session. But again, you have to look at the whole group. Is that going to be the best fit for that individual? Are they better off playing at their own age group and maybe having a little bit of success now again? Because the other thing is, some players or parents, and maybe not like me saying this, but they're obsessed with playing up. But playing up's only good enough if you're it's going to have some success too. If you're just getting beat out all the time, it's just a physical matchup. That's usually a waste of time for me. For me, it's there's I read this actually recently, and I actually really liked it. It was like, if your kid is not able to perform the basic, they can't deal with the speed of play within an older session, or they're getting outbeat physically and they can't perform, they can't, even if they do a skill move or whatever, and they take that touch for a bit of separation, if they're just getting pushed off the ball after that, or they're just getting caught up again, that's not the right environment for them, because that's just a physical, they're just playing against the physicality of the game. Why not play in your own age group and actually be able to develop that success and have that repetition of going past the player and getting that separation rather than just completely losing the ball out of. And sometimes that parents also don't gather that too. Like sometimes it can be a session where typically they play up, but maybe they play up within that club or that maybe that club's. But with some of our sessions, I know for a fact there's some players that come out and their parents have said to me, "Oh, he's been playing up for 4 years." I said, like, "Brilliant, can't wait to see him." And then they get out and I'm like, "It's." I don't mean to be rude, but they get smoked in the 1v1s, and I don't like that either. I want them to have some success. Never goes out equal, but an equal amount of success alongside some failures too. So that for me is then there's learning moments. Now, in the same respect, it's also a very hard situation to manage. Where a lot of times I've even said the parent, if they've signed up for a session and maybe I know that player is going to be a standout player within this session. If I haven't got another, I'll phone them and I'll explain the situation. I say, "Do you want to?" I'm going to give you three options to come to where you're going to get a strong playing environment there where you can come out to another session, or you can come out and you can get some touches. We have some success within this session, and then I just leave it with them.
But I was going to say, yes. Out of all that he just said, leveling A is the hardest part. I think that if you found a training academy that said, "Oh, we've got this spot on," I would be wary, because it's very difficult. There are so many different variables. It depends on who else is coming to the session. It depends on the content of the session. It depends on everything that Greg just said. But at the end of the day, at PD1, we do take a hard look at who's in that class. And even if we think maybe the next class that they could play up in, we may look at that and be like, "Ooh, this is going to be too rough of competition." But like Greg said, we will do one of three things. We will offer them, we will try to find someone to come in. It's very common for us to see a list and go, "Okay, this person signed up. If we can just get so-and-so to come in," and we'll give them a call and we'll say, "Hey, we've got this player. They're going to need a challenge. Can you bring your kid tonight?" And we'll offer it complimentary. We'll say, "Hey, because to us, it's about making sure the session is the right fit, successful, and a learning environment for that kid. If that means we get to throw in somebody complimentary and that helps this kid because it's the best level for them right now, the next level may be a little too advanced." We try to take a very holistic approach to the entire session, what we're doing in the session. Sometimes we get that surprise where we had it this week. We had someone come out. It was their age group. In some instances, that age group, if they filled with the right players, it would be great. In some instances, the players come out and you're watching the session and you're going, "This is not a fair placement for that kid. They're getting great touches." So earlier this week, we had someone come out, phenomenal player. We just walk over to her mom and we're like, "Do you want to stay for a second session? Because she got great touches, but she could be challenged more." So when we see that, even because we know the imperfections of trying to level,
not a team environment, that's the hard part, isn't it, Megan? Is really like when you're in a team environment, that makes more sense, right? There's an A team or there's a B team or a development team and a first team. But whenever you're in a sign-up only sort of thing, I personally would go, like, just put it back to myself. I used to go to boxing. Like, I'd do a lot of boxing training. I would go into a session and sometimes it would be like boxers in there. I was there for a bit of fitness. But you have people in there that are going, like, amateur boxing fighting, they're fighting the Golden Gloves. So it's like for a sign up sort of fitness class is what the sort of industry what we're in, which is different than teams, is it can be very difficult. Now, we try our best to make sure that environment is great, but it never really, sometimes it works out perfect, sometimes it can be challenging. But I'm also one, if a session hasn't been as challenging what I think it could be for a kid, I'm not going to take, I'll make sure, hey, we're going to give you another credit. We want you to come out. This is the environment we want you to come into. So we there's always options for us. We always like to try and give them another way. But it never surprises me too, some kids that come out, and it's a real joy of the game for me. I get so much joy out of it. This week we had a kid turn up or sign up for a session.
Hey everyone, I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. This is a two-part series with Greg. We kind of had a good breaking point in the dialogue, so I kept it where it was at, where we kind of had a breaking point, and we'll pick this back up next week. But what they shared was a good insight into their business and how they run it and more of the methodical method that they have with it. And next week is part two with Coach Greg. It's great. There's a plethora of information there too, so I hope you guys check it out next week and listen in next week. Hey everyone, if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, have enjoyed what I've been trying to do, the messages that I'm putting out there, please give me some ratings, some stars on all the podcast sites that you listen to this on. Give me a review, share this, share with others. The more I can make this grow, the more I can continue doing this. I'm really trying to make a difference in our soccer community. So I hope you guys have enjoyed all this. And until next time, I'll see you at the pitch.